Welcome to the Women & Money Cafe. I'm your host, Julie Flynn, independent financial advisor and financial coach. And this is the weekly money podcast for women by women, exploring the practical and emotional side of money. Welcome back to this episode of the Women & Money Cafe. Now today, myself and Emily. Hi there, Emily.
Hi.
Right, we've got a guest with us today. We've got Nikki Marshall. Now, Nikki is really cool for so many, many, many reasons, but amongst them is she's an award-winning international speaker and a best-selling author, as well as being an entrepreneur. And the thing is, like, seeing life and business, we all experience setbacks that turn our worlds upside down. I've been there several times. I'm sure everybody listening has visited this place at least once. But this happened to Nikki, and after she was recovering from a stroke, she knows what it feels like and the steps that we need to take to rebuild and bounce back from any challenge. So I thought, we love a bit of well-being on the Women & Money Cafe. So let's get Nikki along to chat to us. So Nikki, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here. I hear you chat and it's all informal and very informative as well.
That's the aim. We are sometimes vaguely entertaining as well.
We try to be. We do try to be a little bit entertaining sometimes.
I'm sure you're hilarious.
Yeah, listeners, just before we push the button to start record, Nikki's got her own podcast and she was telling us that at the start of their podcast, they do a humorous 5 minutes. We thought, well, we need to steal this. But Nikki, can we share what your humorous 5 minutes story was that you were talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. This was our very first podcast and we were interviewing Christina Rianoff from Strictly. She has a yoga and wellbeing business up in Northampton. And I went along to her anti-gravity yoga class. So think harness, hanging upside down in yoga poses. I'm crap at yoga. So it was highly hilarious, but I didn't die. So it's okay. It was fun. So but as we were talking, Sharon turned to me and said, there's not a bra in the world that would get me into that class. So my business partner has a very large set of bosoms and I could see what she meant, but that was the start of our podcast.
I think it's just when you told us that story, I had to stop for a second and try and imagine what anti-gravity yoga would be like and the challenges that would come with it. And I got there, but it just took me about 10 seconds.
Don't you think there's a great opportunity for a sports bra company there to do an ad? Well, anti-gravity yoga. Yeah.
Yes, that's a good challenge. But I coped fine. Sharon would not. Let's just.
All right. But Nikki, apart from the fact that you can do anti-gravity yoga, not that you're showing off, but the fact that you can do it.
One time.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, I suppose my background, very much a financial background, started working in a bank when I left school, spent 10 years working for Midland and then HSBC. When I had my children, when you've got a one-year-old and a three-year-old, the best thing to do is train to be a management accountant.
That's the irony, isn't it?
Yeah, 8 years, 20, however many exams, and got to be company accountant of a security company. So had the desk in the office in the corner, the desk, the big desk, everything I wanted. And I've never been so stressed or miserable in my life, to be fair. So decided to do some holistic therapy training to help people. I'd had lots of holistic therapy to help with my own sort of stressful times after having my children. Had a holistic therapy business, but then I was thinking, well, more people need to know that actually there are things you can do for yourself that will help you every day. And so decided I would start a coffee shop with a holistic therapy center attached to it. So two businesses rather than one sounded like a great idea. And 12 weeks in, I was working 80, 90 hours a week, living on cake and coffee, not sleeping. I've got A-levels in anatomy and physiology. The irony is not lost on me that actually I was doing the complete opposite of everything I'd learned. Thinking, well, I'll just work really hard for 6 months. This is my new business. I'll just get this off the ground and then I'll get some help and take some time off. 3 months in, I went for a weekend to relax with my husband. We went to Lundy Island in the Bristol Channel for 2 days of scuba diving. should have gone to a beach in Marbella. To, you know, looking back now, could have done it differently. But two dives in, was unwell, suffered a muscular, skeletal and cerebral bend. The cerebral bend caused a stroke. So I had just turned 40, had a three-month-old business, four growing up teenagers, could not use my left arm, my left hand, couldn't feel my left leg, couldn't drive my car, couldn't remember my name at the time. And yeah, shit. I didn't quite say shit, that's the clean version, but realised that actually I didn't know what to do because I couldn't even drive to get to the business I had. Decided to become my own best student. Long, very long story short, 3 years later, had my health back, had my scuba diving medical back, could drive my car, and my left hand side of my body was stronger than my right. Sold the business for a profit. Discover Your Bounce was born.
Oh, wow. Right. That's quite a story. So the irony there is it wasn't the high-flying exec job that led to the stroke. It was the, I've seen the light, I'm going to change my life, I'm going to go and do what I love, and then it happened. And you're like, what? How am I meant to get out of this? So
Yeah, what the actual... Yeah, this was my vision board dream job. You know, I knew what coffee we're going to have. I knew we were going to have gluten-free cakes before it was trendy to do that kind of stuff. Mm. This was before like Costa, Starbucks and the big guys were on every corner. This was my dream business. So, yeah.
All right. So you were saying that 3 years later, Discover Your Bounce was born. So how did that germinate?
So holistic therapies are incredible, amazing, can really help people. But people would be just coming to me to feel better and then going back home to everything that was stressing them out in the first place. So it was a cycle. It wasn't fixing the root problem. And so I kind of realized it's what we do every day that makes the difference. And the big difference to me with the stroke recovery, because my blood pressure was, I don't know, 205 over 128 or something at the highest point. My doctor was a little bit concerned, but I wasn't sleeping. And actually when I learned how to sleep, because we can learn this stuff. When I decided that I was going to sleep and I changed all my routines so that I could get between 7.5 and 8 hours sleep a night, my blood pressure came down. And when I started changing my diet and bringing more fruit and veg into my diet and less wine and less chocolate, I'm not saying no wine and no chocolate, okay, just less, my cholesterol came down. And so all these things, I realized that all the holistic therapies in the world won't help you long term. It's what you do every day for yourself. So Discover Your Bounce teaches kind of easy techniques that you can do in 30 seconds, a minute, 5 minutes, that you can fit into that busy day just to give you more energy, more vitality, so that you can have it all. Right? Because, you know, I set up my business so I could have more time with my kids and ended up away from them more. So it's about trying to have all of it. And I think you can, but it takes a lot of planning and thinking ahead and realizing that it all starts with you.
All right. Emily, you look like you had a question there.
Well, I did, yeah. I mean, it was really in relation to your comment, Julie, about, you know, obviously Nikki had had a stressful job in banking, working for a bank and being an accountant. And then she'd done her dream job, and it was during the time that she was doing her dream job that she had unfortunately become unwell. But I think from my experience, because my dad, he had a heart attack at the age of 39. So, you know, you were 40, Nikki, he was 39. And this is an incredibly young age to be suffering such, you know, major ill health. And I think the thing is that it's actually cumulative, isn't it? Everything that you do is cumulative. And there is very much this view of young people in much the way they think about retirement planning. Oh, I won't worry about that. I'll worry about that when I'm older. But the thing is, the reality is that we have to wake up and smell the coffee at some point. And sometimes people are clever enough to do it in their early 20s. For most of us, it takes to our 30s. I think usually by our 40s, people have woken up to the fact that actually we've only got one vessel here and we really need to look after it. But yeah, I don't know. Is that your view? And do you think that when people do come to you for your help, do you think that they are 100% ready to actually take action? Because I think that is the problem, is that a lot of people wait until something terrible has happened, then they seek action, but so easily they can slip back into their old ways.
Yeah, I think, you know, I definitely thought I was bomb-proof. I thought I had all this knowledge and, you know, I had a happier life. I was on marriage number two. Mr. Marshall is the most amazing husband. I thought that, you know, I would be able to push it to the absolute limit. And people were telling me I was tired. People were telling me I looked stressed. And I was like, oh, no, you know, I'm just on this journey. Because like you say, at 40, I didn't think strokes happened to young people, but I've heard people having strokes at school, you know, people in their 20s and 30s. And I was listening to Diary of the CEO with Stephen Bartlett, and there was Dr. Alia, he was a US doctor, and he said, in our 20s and 30s, we think that we're bomb-proof. We can have it all. We don't have to think about the health stuff. We can do it in our 40s. But he said, you know, our bodies start to degrade from the minute we are born. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, hang on a minute. So yeah, the things we do with our kids when they're growing up, the choices we make, you know, and I don't want to attack this in a sort of depressive way, but just realizing, just checking in and saying, you know, how do I feel today? Because when you've got a list, you know, how many times do we wake up in the morning, look at our list and think, oh, if I could just tick all this, like an Olympic sport, then I'm going to be winning at life, you know, and we tick down that list, and nowhere on that list is fun. Nowhere on that list is getting out for 10 minutes to have a walk. It's like, I'll do all this stuff and then I'll do the fun thing. Whereas actually now I've got three businesses and I have more fun in my diary than I ever have before. But my ability to do, you know, the harder I work, the luckier I get, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I the stuff that I have to do for myself goes in before the stuff that I have to do for everyone else. Because then you have got the energy. You know, I've got grandchildren now. I have to be able to run around after them. And it was when my daughter was pregnant with my granddaughter, I was like, I need to make even more changes. I need to do more things for me because I need more energy now. And, you know, I looked after her over the summer last year and I was right. She's nearly four. I do need more energy now. But we don't realize that there's just those little choices you make every day. I tend to sit down in the morning and go, how can I be a better version of myself today than I was yesterday?
Yeah.
And that might mean drinking more of the water or more of the decaf tea or saying no to some stuff. You know, it's an everyday choice. And we tend to, like you say, people tend to come to me where the shit has hit the fan and they're either, you know, not able to do the job or the business they love, or they've got some kind of big health problem. But there's so much, it takes years to undo it then. You know, people tend to come up, right, I want to feel better by next Friday because I've got this thing or I'm going on holiday. And I'm like, okay, how long did it take you to get to the position you're in now? Like you say, I'm 53. That's a lot of, you know, there's a lot to undo. It takes a while.
Can I ask a question as well? So I was going back to the point you were saying about the holistic therapies are all very good. People will come in, they'll get the holistic therapy, and then they're going back into the situation that caused whatever was going on. Do you think some of it is a mindset that we, for some of us, i.e. probably me, right, we get that this well-being thing is a thing that should be done. So what I want to do is I want to turn up and see someone and essentially outsource it. You do my well-being thing so I can go back out into the world and carry on doing all the crap I was doing before. Do you think there's a lot of that going on? Please say there is. Yeah. It's not just me.
It's not. And I do it as well. You know, when I stopped drinking about three years in September. I just decided that I'd got to this point where it was in lockdown and I was working. We had to completely pivot our business. Well, I called it a pirouette. We did a pirouette in our business and turned it all online and did lots of sort of personal wellbeing and stuff and relaunched our publishing company and kind of grew that. So we did a lot and I was working 12-hour days and I would reward myself at the end of the day with two glasses of wine. So it wasn't
Hang on a second. Hang on. Why is it two glasses?
On a Friday night, it was the bottle. But because it was a school night, you know, it's all about balance.
But why not so one glass? Why was it two glasses?
I don't know. It got to be two glasses, right? And that became, because things become habits and you don't realise. But you know, I was rewarding myself with something that was toxic and bad for me, right? You know, that was my reward. And then I realized that on a Monday morning, I didn't want to go to work, and this is my own job. So my mindset was going through the floor, because on a Friday night, I would have more wine. But this red wine was, it was this cycle. So I thought, I wonder what would happen if I just didn't drink. And 3 years later, I may have the odd glass of Malbec or the odd glass of champagne, but generally I don't drink. But when I first didn't drink, I replaced it with chocolate. Just replaced it with something else. And so, you know, I had a better mindset, but the waistline, not so much, you know, and I do well-being. So I'm always looking at these things. And so, like you say, I think we do tend to say we're going to outsource it, but also we say, I'm going to do this busy thing and then I'm going to look after my well-being. Whereas actually, if you could get 15 minutes more sleep, or you could drink a glass of water when you woke up in the morning, you're doing well-being. You know, it's not a big thing that we have to do separately. It's just in between everything else we're already doing. That's when you get the best results.
All right, hang on a second. So if I wake up tomorrow morning, one of the first things I do is drink a glass of water. That's me looking after my well-being.
Yeah, because you're waking up your liver, which is your detox system. So you'll be detoxing your body from the minute you wake up. And if you had a glass of water before you went to bed without worrying about, oh my God, I'm going to need a pee in the middle of the night. But if you had a small glass of water before you went to bed, we have this system called the glymphatic system in our brain, which basically takes away all the debris. So all the debris in our brain, if we've got enough water in our system, the brain basically hoovers itself. That's how I'm technical. That's how I imagine it. But it means you have more clarity when you wake up in the morning. But if we're dehydrated, that system doesn't work properly. So we wake up a bit foggy in the morning, and then we blame the menopause or whatever it is. For I'm not saying menopause brain fog doesn't exist. Please, I've had it. It's vile. But sometimes our brain fog is because we didn't drink enough water before we went to bed.
Okay, so top tip number one. Okay, drink some water before you go to bed. I already do that. Drink a glass of water when you wake up. And we've just essentially hoovered our brains, which apparently is a good thing to do.
Yes. Yeah. And if you don't have enough, one night's bad sleep, your mood drops by 30%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Can I give you my well-being tip?
Oh, please.
I've only done this once. I did it for the first time last week. And talking about hoovering out and eliminating.
Oh, why do we want to go here?
You can edit this out, Julie, if you want to. But all I would say is that I had my first colonic irrigation last week.
And how was it for you, Emily?
It was actually, okay, the thing I was most worried about was the embarrassment of it, because frankly, there aren't that many people that would, you know, go down there. So, okay, you can definitely edit this out, Julie, if you want to.
It's staying.
But I'm saying nothing.
Give us your colonic story,
but
Emily.
That was the worst part of it, is that initial embarrassment. Okay, once that was over, it was an amazing feeling of just knowing that there's all these bits of debris that's been hanging around your colon for the last 47 years, possibly, and it was all coming out. And it was amazing, and I did feel really good. And I think, obviously, hydration is major when it comes to brain fog and things like that, but also your colon health is huge as well, and that's what a lot of people don't realise. And my therapist was talking a lot to me about a lot of her patients who come to see her who have, you know, extremely poor diets, very stressful lives. I mean, it's just all extremely bad lifestyle for a lot of people that causes a lot of their colon issues. But you wouldn't believe the kind of things it can cure. I mean, for example, did you know that your skin is obviously the largest organ of your body, and it is the one that detoxifies the most? So if you've got some skin issues, if you can get your colon cleansed, you can solve those skin issues quite easily, and all sorts of things. So anyway, there's my little advert for colonic irrigation.
Yeah, fantastic.
But you have as many neurons in your gut as in your brain.
Yes, yes.
The same amount.
And people have more, probably.
But yeah, like you say, you know, if you can get your gut health right, whether it's probiotics, prebiotics, or just, you know, diet, water, all that kind of stuff, then yeah, there's a massive link with having good mental health.
Well, we have a lot of fun running the cafe. The reason we do it is to reach as many women as possible to empower them around money. So if you know a woman who would benefit from feeling financially empowered, You can help them and us by sharing this episode with them. All right, so Nikki, give us some more of your easy, quick wins then, because I'm just sold on this having a glass of water in the morning. I can easily do that. Have you got any other tips for us?
So yeah, we talk about four elements to well-being. Okay, So mind, body, spirit, and vision. So mental health, physical health, spirit can be your spirituality, but also community, happiness, you know, having people around you, and then vision, you know, your vision or your goals. And so if you think about those four things, I can give you a tip for all of them. So mental health, thinking about how you can be in this present moment, because most people are in the past or in the future most of the time, and the brain loves to think about scenarios. But if you can get into this very present moment, then your brain will remind you that actually you're hungry or you're thirsty or your shoulders are hurting. But when you're thinking about all of the other things, you just, that won't even come into it. So we breathe all day, every day anyway. So if you can just take three long deep breaths. And when I see deep breaths, most people just sort of go up into their shoulders. They kind of do this thing, but actually that just fills the top half of your lungs. But if you can breathe down into your belly, and fill your lungs right from your belly right up to just below our clavicle. Our lungs are huge. So if you can just take three deep breaths, then you give yourself a big old oxygen hit. So you get more intelligent. But also there's a valve in our diaphragm. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, so when we're really stressed and nervous, we kind of hitch our stomach. And if you can release that valve, then the blood flows back up to the heart better. So your blood pressure improves. You digest your food properly, because if we're really stressed when we eat, we get heartburn and reflux and acid and all that kind of stuff. And also it helps the flow of lymph, which is detoxing. Because people think when they're tired, they get bags under their eyes, but it's actually when the lymph isn't flowing around the body properly. So three deep breaths, that's really good for your mental health. Physical health, we've talked about water. And also, if you can think of 10 good things before you go to bed at night, you'll produce more serotonin, which will mean you will sleep deeper and longer. So when we are in REM sleep, that's when our body heals itself. So repairs, bruises, all that sort of stuff. So if you, even a false smile produces serotonin. So you know when someone says something that's really not funny and you laugh anyway, you've just given yourself a serotonin hit. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Sometimes people say things that are really funny and that's the best. But serotonin improves our sleep, our mood and our appetite. So you'll make good food choices if you're high on serotonin. Spirit, happiness. Have a happy kit. Have things that make you laugh, things that are fun. Like Times Like These by the Foo Fighters is the best song if you are feeling stressed, because you can belt it out and you feel a lot better. I don't belt it out when there's company, just in the shower or the car, because I wouldn't sing in front of people. But yeah, new socks, having a favourite walk, a glass of your favourite tipple, whatever that is, or having a chat with a friend is just going to be those mood boosters. So have a happy kit. And when you are stressed or fed up or whatever, then choose one thing and go and do that. And then vision, you know, have your goals written down. Just, you know, what would be amazing and fantastic? Because we tend to look at life plus 10%, and the same with financial decisions, don't we? You know, I just want a bit more next year than I had this year. But actually, what would be amazing and what would be fantastic? And just write those things on a vision board. So I've had some crazy things on my vision board over the years, and they've come true. A few years ago, I put Machu Picchu on my vision board, and I thought it was absolutely genuinely impossible that I would ever have the time or the finances or the wherewithal to get to Machu Picchu. At the middle of September, Phil and I are going for 4 weeks to South America, starting off at Rio, ending up at Machu Picchu. And wow. If you look at all the things that have had to happen to make that a thing, you would never think of that. But just whatever you think you really want to do, just put it on your vision board anyway. And yeah, like you say, the Christina Rienoff, I said, oh, wouldn't it be great to have a Strictly Star on our, you know, on our podcast? And I think it was a few weeks after that, my friend was like, you like Strictly, right? I said, yeah. He said, oh, I've got someone who used to be on Strictly that is looking to go on more podcasts. how does that happen? Well, you've got this reticular activating system in the brain that looks for what you tell it. So your brain is scanning for ideas and opportunities. But also, if you are sort of more of a, I kind of combine a bit of woo and a bit of science, but the law of attraction, you know, you send that message out there, who knows? I think they've measured our thoughts go 5 inches from our head. And the reason they can't measure further is because they don't have the right equipment. It doesn't say that our thoughts don't go further. So,
wow. Wow. Right, so let's do a quick recap so far, because you've given us some great stuff there, Nikki. Still really sold on the glass of water, by the way. Right, but yeah. Apart from that, we've got taking 3 deep breaths. And it's not just getting it in the top of your shoulders, folks. Imagine like there's a balloon inside your tummy. So we want to get all the oxygen all the way in there and fill it right up. So 3 of them apparently is going to make us smarter. We should have done it before we pressed record. It's going to help regulate your nervous system as well. So that's all good. What else did we have? Oh, being present. Right. So you need to go back. If this is something that you need extra help with, listeners, go back and listen to episode number 60, where you can listen to Lynn Penman and us chatting about getting now tattooed on our backsides. Yeah. Trust me, Lynn's now step to help you stay in the present, really good. I love the idea of putting a happy kit together. I'm going to do that after we finish and the different things that might go in the happy kit. Did have a question about that. Did you say new socks?
Yeah, if I've got a big speaking gig to do, I crack open new socks. People send me new socks. I got some through the post at the weekend. Because new socks just light up my soul. I don't wear them in the summer.
Okay, so this is a personal thing. This is not something that's been scientifically proven.
No, but something that makes you smile. So everyone will have, you know, I would say you do you. You do your own version of everything I say. So you've probably got, you know, you've got a cat, right? I'm sure when he's not nicking stuff, he makes you smile.
Oh, he does when he's not trying to eat inappropriate things. Oh, no, I'm still quite sold on the socks because I've got socks that have got words on them. And I'll be like, how do I want to feel today? Do I want to feel lucky? Do I want to feel happy? And I pick my socks accordingly. I know, I'm a 6-year-old kid, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you got pants Monday to Sunday as well?
I'm not prepared to reveal that.
I used to have Bay City roller pants.
My happy kit is certainly my dog. You just can't beat a nice cuddle with your dog.
Percy's ticking the boxes big time, isn't he?
Yeah.
But that's it, you know, it's just the things that make you smile. You know, I was saying to someone yesterday, I do little meditation classes online, and I was saying about sometimes it's really hard to think of us as good people, to say you love yourself, right? That can be really hard. But if you think about the things that you've done over the last week for the dog, the cat, for your kids, for partners, for people you work with. Think of the nice things that you've done for other people. And that does give you that smile of like, oh yeah, that was really nice. That was a really nice thing. And so then actually that goodness kind of comes back to you.
Well, I can feel the endorphins coming out as I think about that.
Yeah. And then it kind of, it's like a bit of a boomerang, you know, it comes back. Yeah. And if you give yourself the fuzzies, you know, when you get goosebumps and the hairs on your body stand up when you feel like you've done a good thing, or you read something inspiring, that's your parasympathetic nervous system resetting. So you're giving yourself that kind of feel good. And you might not be able to say, you know, I love myself, but you might be able to start with, actually, I quite like me because I did that thing and that was okay. And that's a really good place to start.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because I don't know about you, Emily, but I can't really see me sitting here going, I love myself. It's just not ringing true with me. But I can sit here and go, do you know what? I'm all right. I can do that.
I've just been at a networking event earlier today, and there was a lady who gave a speech about imposter syndrome. Well, I know that's a really sort of popular speech to give. We've all heard it, especially at sort of women's networking events. But anyway, this lady said, one great thing to do is, you know, on a poster in your office or wherever it is you work, just write down all of these things that you're proud of, that you're something that you've done well. And if you can look at that every day, that will give you a lot of confidence. And she said, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, if you've just, this is her example. And I thought, yeah, actually, that's something to be proud of. She said, if you've just renovated your house on a really tight budget, put it on the list.
Yeah.
So that was a bit random, but yeah, anything that makes you feel good, put it up there, and then you can read it and say, oh, wow, I'm pretty
amazing. I made some flat pack furniture this week.
Wow. Amazing.
Oh, I never used to mind doing this, but since I've got perimenopausal, like, give me a set of instructions now, and I'm like, oh my God. But I've got one of those little houses for the cat that you put his litter tray in. So I was building that earlier on the week, and it works because it stops them trailing cat litter all over the house now. So I'm really proud of myself for that.
Very good.
Brilliant. They're quite trendy now. I was watching a programme about motorhomes, and there's quite a lot that have these little houses, like you say, the houses for the cat.
It's where it's at. Get a little cat house. Get a little dog house for Percy. I know that he goes outside to do his business, but I don't like to think of Percy as being homeless. Not when all these cats have got their own little apartments and everything.
No. I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. If he hears that cats have their own houses, he's going to be really upset.
Percy's one of the few members of your family you haven't slagged off on the podcast. Okay, so we've got Emily's list of things that you're proud of, Nikki, your list of things that you're grateful for and ways that you've helped other people. I'm liking all these because these are all things that I can do. I think in my head I thought well-being was a big thing that was going to require like a lot of commitment. But I love that you're breaking this down into just little tiny tasks for me. And it's making me think back to an episode Michelle and I did on Atomic Habits for Your Money, because we love the Atomic Habits book. And I'm like, if you keep giving me all these little things, I can start building myself a well-being habit stack.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. It's when you're, like, if you're putting the kettle on, just... if you bend forward and just try, you don't have to touch your toes, but just hang forward, then you actually release all the pressure in your spine. Because, you know, we sit up straight, don't we? Especially on a presentation, you tend to sit up more straight. And so you kind of get this like arch in your back. So if while the kettle's boiling, you lean forward, you just decompress your spine. It's just so good. Yeah.
And I've got another one that I did this morning, actually. I think I might have borrowed it from Stephen Bartlett on Diary of a CEO as well. But cold shower, just a minute or however long you can tolerate, cold freezing water. Because it turns something on in your brain, apparently, very good for perimenopausal women. But also psychologically, as I'm under the shower getting very cold, I say to myself, see, you can do hard things.
I like that. Now, see, I've heard this about the cold shower. I'm not prepared to go there yet. The talk about easing yourself in gently. Do you know what I started doing? So you get in and you turn the shower on, and normally I just stay away from it until it warmed up. And then I'll step under it. While I'm waiting for it to warm up, while it's really cold, I've got it on my feet and I'm just gradually moving up my legs.
So or my hands.
I'm gently easing into the cold shower. So maybe if we check in around about December time, I might be up to my knees. Who knows? I'll keep you posted.
They say we've got so comfortable, like squishy chairs and central heating, and it's about, you know, just being slightly uncomfortable. So when we go out for a walk, like just wearing less, so you are slightly colder as you kind of warm up, that kind of thing. But like you say, though, with well-being, people think it's tricky, and actually the program we have, it's we're just about to relaunch it as like a monthly kind of group mentoring program, but it's just full of lots and lots of little tips on all these different subjects. You know, like it just tidying your desk so that when you walk in on a Monday morning, you've got that clear desk. Or if you've got a massive to-do list, just putting three things on a post-it note. So when your brain looks at what you need to do, you only have three things. The brain likes threes, sevens and nines. But a list of three things, it just feels achievable. So a bit like you were saying, Emily, about that I can do hard things. Mm. Human beings are bloody incredible at what they do. You think about the things people do on a daily and yearly basis. But you just have to kind of break these things down, break down those hard things into those little chunks. And just one or two decisions a day that are good for you will massively, in 3 months' time, make a huge difference to your health and well-being.
Mm-hmm. Emily, is there anything else you would like to add?
So another thing that I've just started doing about a week ago is I've started taking a turmeric supplement. to reduce inflammation. I think I must be on some sort of midlife health kick at the moment because I'm just trying little things. Because I think, like you say, Nikki, I mean, I could say to myself, oh, I'm going to train for a marathon. Well, that is just too much work. But it's the little things that hopefully, cumulatively, would actually do stuff. So, yeah, turmeric, yeah. Try it.
Yeah, and in fact, my husband loves food, and he's like, oh, you just focus on illness. You just focus on illness all the time. I go, no, I focus on wellness, actually. There's a real big difference with those two things. And then the other day he was saying, oh, right, so, you know, if you did want to lose some weight and lower your cholesterol, what would you do? And I had to be really careful because if I dived right in with too much, he'd be like, oh, it was only, you know, I was only asking a few things. And I just said, well, just starts with simple choices. I said, it's what you put in rather than what you take out. So I said, you could have turkey mince rather than beef mince, and then you're not having as much red meat. Right, okay. I said, you could do a meat-free meal. And I almost saw the rash appear, but he didn't faint. I said, and you could have new potatoes rather than roast potatoes and maybe a bit of fish. And then just shut up and moved away because he would have, passed out or something. This week we have had a turkey mince chili on a baked potato. It was delicious. And yesterday we had the spiciest vegetable soup. And I had to really check, but there was no meat in it.
Oh, wow.
And we had a fish curry. So those three things in this week, you know, if he just keeps doing those, it will massively change. Mm. But I'm just keeping quiet because I don't want to say I told you so, because that would be bad. This is my second marriage. I don't do things like that.
We live and we learn, don't we?
We do. He's a keeper. It's fine.
The other thing I've just tried recently is intermittent fasting. I don't know whether that's got a little bit of a bad press. I mean, some people say it's amazing. Some people say it's not. I just say, you know, everyone should try things. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Try and find something else. But for me, I do find it's quite helpful. I think it helps a little bit with brain fog. It takes away options. So rather than me opening the fridge first thing in the morning and going, oh, what have I got for breakfast, and then having something unhealthy, well, I wouldn't normally, actually, I'd normally be quite healthy at breakfast, but you know, it just takes that away. So now I've limited the number of hours in the day that I can be unhealthy, because I'm only actually allowed to eat for 8 hours of the day. But I still think it will be less, I will still eat less bad stuff because I'm eating less hours of the day. Right. Might be some logic there, I don't know.
Well, I don't do it every day, but most of the time I don't have breakfast, and I probably eat about 12, 1 o'clock at lunchtime. But I've never liked breakfast. Breakfast has always made me feel sick. And I used to, when I was going to school, you know, I had to have cereal, and just the thought of milk in the morning, I just couldn't do it. And so I think with all these things, you've got to look at what your body is trying to tell you, because if we ignore this brain and we go into that gut instinct, and you have your hands on your tummy and you ask yourself, you know, I've got friends that can't function without at least a piece of toast, and that's good for them, you know, whereas the thought of having, you know, when we go to the Peaks networking events, for example, and there's just these amazing breakfast spreads and there's me with a black coffee, because I just can't face anything. And then about 12 o'clock at lunchtime, that's when I want to eat. So I think you've got to find what suits you, and not try and force yourself. Like some people, you know, don't like exercising first thing in the morning. Well, don't. I love going for a swim before, like, the day's woken up. I kind of, you know, used to defrag your computer. I don't know anyone that still does that these days. But when I go for a swim, I have ADHD and I'm coming out of the menopause. I find that swim first thing in the morning kind of defrags my brain.
Oh.
And I seem to, like, know what's important when I come out of the swimming pool. So, yeah, find what works.
All right. Okay, well, as we bring things to a close, I think, Nikki, you have given us so much value there. There's so many hints and tips that you've given us. You've made me feel a lot better about myself.
You did it.
It just feels achievable now. We at the Women of Money Cafe though. We're really curious about people. So when we've had a guest on, we like to ask them a random question just to get a little extra nugget out of them before they leave the cafe. So I wondered, is there an interesting fact you would like to share with yourself, Nikki? The yoga, the anti-gravitational yoga doesn't count because you gave that one up at the start voluntarily.
That was a good start though, wasn't it? Yeah, I go indoor skydiving. So, you know, the wind tunnels, the circular glass, like goldfish bowl tunnels that they have. Me and my husband, I bought him a voucher for Christmas and we loved it so much that we go about once a month, twice a month. And so I can now, you know, I look kind of okay flying on my front, but I'm learning to fly on my back, which, you know, get everything you've learned and then reverse it. It's kind of harder, but I can, you know, bounce up to the top of the tunnel and spin and do carving with the instructor and kind of go over his head and, you know, do like formations and stuff. But it's something physical. It's really good for physical health, but it challenges your brain. And so it, you know, it's all about creating those new neural pathways that, keep you awake. So
that's really cool. Now, I think what everybody wants me to ask you now, and I would be remiss if I didn't, have you tried yoga while skydiving?
It's really hard because you're in a tunnel with a big fan underneath you in 100-mile-an-hour wind, right? So it's really hard to keep.
Right.
I can keep still, but no, I have not. I might have to. I'm going tomorrow, actually. What yoga pose could I do?
And we want to hear how Sharon feels about skydiving versus anti-gravitational yoga. So report back and let us know on that.
Well, I think Sharon would hate both. She is a shanty singer. She goes to folk festivals and is a shanty singer. So she has other creative talents, and I won't sing out of the shower. So it's good to be unique, isn't it? You know.
Right. So, Nikki, thank you very much for sharing all that with us. For people that are listening, they want to find out more about you or just connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
I'm on all the usual social channels. Nikki Marshall DYB is kind of Facebook and Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. We have a community on Facebook called Discover Your Balance Community, where we share lots of the kind of easy hints and tips. The podcast is the My Wellbeing Show. If you go on Amazon and Google Nikki Marshall, you'll see all the books. But Rescued by the Coast Guard is my sort of autobiography of the stroke story and what happened. And I wrote a fiction book that is nothing at all like my first marriage, called Tabby Turns the Tables.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right. Look, Nikki, thank you so much. Emily, thanks for keeping me company.
Pleasure.
And you, the listeners, thank you very much for listening to us. I will leave links to all of Nikki's things in the show notes. Thank you for listening. And until next time, take care of yourself. Thanks for listening to the Women and Money Cafe. If you've enjoyed it, please leave us a review. It really does help. And also, please note the podcast is for education and information only and doesn't constitute personal financial advice. Please reach out to one of us or any of the other fantastic financial advisors in the UK for that kind of help.